to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral, and wow, am I excited! There is a person, a saint in the making, sitting in front of me, Donna Lee, who is, as I've gotten to know her more and will get to know her a lot more, is a real inspiration for me. She is a Catholic recording artist, music minister, evangelist, and I can go on for a long time. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I think I met you the first time at one of the Magnificats where I spoke at. Mm-hmm. And you do so much for the Lord. Tell us about your background. Are you cradle Catholic, or tell us your story?
I am Catholic because of one grandparent.
Awesome.
Yeah, my mom's father was Catholic, and he made sure that my mom went through the church and did all her sacraments. And sadly, he ended up leaving the church because he divorced my grandmother and married someone else. So, but thank goodness he was Catholic for that moment in time enough that it stuck with my mom. And then when she married my father, who was not Catholic, but eventually became Catholic, and they had their marriage blessed in the church, that's how I was raised. And I was raised in the church from, you know, baptism, did all my sacraments.
Where did you grow up?
In San Diego, Holy Family. I was born in Oxnard. My dad was in the Navy, so we moved to San Diego when I was 2.
And what a blessing, huh? San Diego, not too bad.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a blessing to be raised in that city. Yeah. So very grateful and thankful.
So here's one lesson to our listening audience. You can make a difference as a grandparent, right?
Yes.
As an uncle, as an aunt, whatever it might be. Say yes to Jesus and say, you know what? Those that are godparents, for example, right? You know, I do a lot of baptisms, and I say, you know, this is not a one day thing, one event thing. Make a difference in someone's life and look how it changed you.
Yes. You know? And you know what? It just made me think, Deacon, about my great niece. When she was 8 years old, her mother, my niece, died. She was only 33, very unexpectedly. And my niece, Sharana, her desire, she had turned her life around. At one time, she was homeless and just down and out. And then she changed her life around, and she desired to have her daughter, my great niece, baptized. And this was like the last year of her life, you know, and then she passed away. And I moved in with my sister to help take care of her. And I go to daily mass, and my sister, you know, remembered that this was her wish, and she asked if I would, you know, make this happen. And so I started teaching CCD at my parish that I was at when I moved to my sister's. And Deja got all her sacraments, and it was just the most beautiful thing. And I thought, you know, it's sad that my niece passed, but we were able to get this done, you know, one of her wishes. And then I was not really a godmother, but her sponsor, you know, and it was just a beautiful thing to make that happen. And my niece that passed, I was her godmother. So I just feel like in some way she was orchestrating that from heaven, wherever she is.
Amen.
And you're right. You know, we can have an influence, and that made me very happy. So
we can make such a difference by just saying yes to God. And remember, one of my favorite verses, and those that have listened to the show know that I quote this verse a lot, is John 15:16. It's not you who chose me, but I who chose you to bear fruit. And Jesus chooses us to bear fruit in people's lives. And that's certainly what you've done. And I have to say, oh, I love your music. I love your music. And you know, we're so blessed to have you part of our prayer meeting recently at Spiritful Hearts. And check us out, spiritfulhearts.org, for our prayer meetings in Irvine, California. But you're also going to be part of a lot of different events that we're going to do and hopefully a lot more. But tell us about how you got started in music ministry and why you're so passionate about it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it all started when I was 7. I learned to play guitar. And at my church, I grew up in Holy Family in Linda Vista. My mom approached the music people and said, my daughter, she plays guitar and sings. You know, she kind of pushed me into the folk group. At that time, this was the early 70s, and that's when
Peter,
folk,
Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, folk masses.
I got a hammer or something.
Yeah. Folk masses were really, you know, the thing and popular.
Right,
and so
that's where
it really started.
Yes.
Was just my mom giving me that little nudge.
That's nice.
Because I was really shy. You know, I don't know if you hear interviews of singers, songwriters, famous people, and that a lot of them are shy. I was very quiet and shy as a little girl, so I would have never went up and asked myself. And I was only 7, you know. So, I mean, it was a beautiful thing. And for 11 years, I was singing the folk mass every Sunday all through junior high, high school.
Awesome.
And that's where the seed was planted for the music ministry.
I try to encourage lectors proclaiming readings and so forth, and deacons and obviously priests proclaim the gospel, to understand that it's really this communication with God. It's not just reading. And I feel the same way about singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just words. It's the passion that you put into it. Your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, you have to have a strong faith, you know, before any kind of ministry, anything that you're doing in the church, whether you're a Eucharistic minister or lector or musician. And yes, you do have to have a passion, and not everybody is called. Like, some people will have, they can play the piano or they can sing or play guitar, but that might not be their calling, you know, in the church to use that gift. You know, you just never know, and you have to pray about it, and it does have to come from the heart. I think it's the most important thing, that it comes from your heart and that you're doing it for the right reasons, you know?
I love to hear you, but I also enjoy watching you. And even though you didn't look at me, that one, no, just kidding. But the reason is because you put everything you have into it. Your soul, your body, your mind, everything is in communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's called prayer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it is. And when I do, you know, I do a lot of praise and worship for the Magnificat ministry, so many different groups, retreats, all kinds of things over the years. And I've grown. When I think about when I went to your prayer group, I was telling my mom, you know, look at how all these years, how everything started when I was 7, leading up to this point at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton for this prayer group for Deacon Greco. I couldn't have done that 15 years ago. It's like God takes us on this journey with our ministry. And that's why we have to trust him and let things unfold. You know, when you first start out, you might want to be like way over here. But no, you got to take these baby steps. And God says, no, you got to go here first. And just trust me, you know. And I love doing the praise, and I do put everything into it. And it's my opportunity to also praise God. I try to lead the people and inspire them for them to give their praise, you know, and just really with my heart say, okay, in this moment, Lord, with this gift, I am praising you too. And just be, and I'm thankful for the gift. I'm so thankful, Deacon Greco. And without God, I don't have this gift. He's everything. And he is the reason that I have the gift and that I share the gift.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. You know,
right.
Can we do
it's
Handel's
exciting.
Messiah sometime? You know, I'd love to do that. You know, but it is praising God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength, loving him.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you do. And
yes.
And you have many CDs. Tell us about that, and how can people find them?
Wow. I just finished my 10th studio album. And
wow.
I'm thank you. I'm hoping it will be done by the conference comes in April. We'll see. It's all recorded, so now we're in the mixing and mastering process and all that. But this last album I did is all praise and worship. I'm a singer-songwriter, so most of my albums are original songs that I've written that tell the story of my life and my conversion and all that. So this particular album is just all cover songs, because since I do a lot of praise and worship, everybody says, I want those songs. So I finally did an album just praise and worship, familiar songs, but it's been an incredible journey. Recorded my first album in 1990, which was all original music, which every song tells the story of my conversion. But it's exciting to be in the studio and recording.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And people can find my music on iTunes. There are quite a few singers named Donna Lee, I should mention, on iTunes. It's so funny. But I'm the only inspirational Christian Catholic artist.
And you have a website.
I do have a website, donnalee.ws, as in Sam.
And they can order your albums on the website.
Yes, they can.
That's awesome, and we highly recommend it. And we highly recommend that you attend our conference April 13th at Santiago de Compostela. And you can go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org, and to register online. And it is on Divine Mercy. You mentioned trusting in Jesus. That is such a foundation of our faith, is to say, Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you, no matter what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, people, it's so funny. You know, the other day, someone very close to me came up to me and said, oh, well, you don't have any problems, right? I mean, you're way up here, whatever. You know, I don't care who you are. You're ordained, not ordained. You're in ministry, not in ministry. We're all fighting the battle.
That's right.
It's a struggle. We need each other. We need our faith. And we need divine mercy. And a big part of your ministry, of course, is really letting people know that they're not alone, that they're loved by God.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it's interesting that you said that. I was thinking about this the other day, because I do sing for so many Magnificat meals. I hear so many speakers. And when I listen to the people that come and speak, and I see how the audience is in awe of them, but at the same time, I'm also thinking, they're just like each one of us here. You know, yeah, they're giving a great testimony, but they're still on a journey too. And we can't always put them on a pedestal. And even when I go and speak, you know, I'm thinking, I'm just like all of you. I'm a sinner and I'm on a journey. I'm not perfect. And we don't have to be perfect to be witnesses for Christ. We don't have
my sister.
And to say yes to him. We don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
Because we're all on a journey. So we can't judge, and we just have to continue.
Okay, here's a scriptural test for you.
Uh-oh.
You ready? Okay, here we go.
Am I ready?
We're on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walks up to Peter. Come follow me. What did Peter say? He said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man.
Mm.
But don't we all feel that way?
Yeah, and Jesus, and what did Jesus say? Do not be afraid.
Exactly. See, you got it right. But the point is that we're all sinners. That's why we need Jesus. We need a Savior.
Yes.
And your music is the personification of that, a personification of God's love. And that's why we are mutually very heavily involved, will become even more heavily involved in the Divine Mercy conferences. We pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day.
Amen.
Which is really important. Life, my brothers and sisters, as we all know, is a journey and is not easy. We're going to talk more with Donna Lee, evangelist and recording artist, when we come right back to talk more about her journey. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're back on Empowered by the Spirit with one of my favorite people, getting to be more favorite all the time because I'm spending more time with her, and that's Donna Lee, Catholic recording artist, music minister, evangelist, who puts her heart and soul into loving Jesus. You know, when it says to love God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength, I think about that all the time, right?
To be passionate. Yes.
And that's a big part of who you are. But it's amazing to me, whether it be you or me or anybody, it's not like a steady state journey. I mean, you mentioned you're a cradle Catholic. I'm a cradle Catholic. At 28, I had what one would call kind of a born again experience, or, you know, I gave my life to Jesus and everything was great for a while, but then ching,
right,
fell down, right? And that's part of the journey is that it's almost like God molds you by allowing you to have these challenges. Right. Your thoughts on that?
Yes. And when we choose a path that may not be God's will and that takes us away from Him, and then we come back, He has a way. There's that, He makes crooked lines straight, or right. What is that saying? I can't remember the verbatim.
He makes crooked lines straight, or it makes lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So that gives us hope. And for me, you're going to love this story, Deacon. When
okay.
I was 13, imagine I'm 13 years old in a public junior high school. My U.S. history teacher, I'll never forget her. God bless her. Didn't even know she was Catholic, but she radiated Christ's love. But never even said she was Catholic. I would have these conversations with her after class. One day I had to stay after school in my gym class, and I went there, and then something happened. She sent me back. So I go back to Mrs. Asaro's class, and her room is right across from the principal's office. And she had been talking to me about having a relationship with Jesus. I mean, this is a public school. It was so crazy.
Awesome.
And I would come home and talk to my mom, and my mom would go, what's going on here? But anyways, long story short, in her classroom, it was our last period, myself and a friend and another gentleman, we all sat in a circle and we prayed the sinner's prayer in her classroom.
Isn't that awesome?
Can you imagine? At 13 years old. And get this, 2 months later, because all this time she's talking to me a little bit, little by little, about Jesus, I'm sitting in a chair and the same people are there in the classroom. They're laying hands on me, praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit 2 months before I'm going to be confirmed.
Wow!
And during this prayer, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I feel this rush and tingle, and I receive the gift of tongues
at 13
years old.
Wow, way ahead of me, that's for sure. Praise God.
At this point, I don't even really
know
a lot about
tongues,
but she was starting to talk to me, and I felt like I was so ahead of my confirmation class at that point, but I didn't share it with the CCD teacher because I didn't think I don't know if she would freak out or not. But that, for me, is where the seed was planted, where the baptism of the Holy Spirit took hold of me. But I got to high school and it went,
you know,
because I started dating.
we talk about in our seminars the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is basically, if you look at my brothers and sisters, Acts 1:8, and actually the first chapter of Acts, where Peter asked what kind of baptism did you receive, in Acts 1:5, and the apostle said, one of repentance from John. And he said in Acts 1:8, soon you will receive power, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's letting the Holy Spirit out of you to be released from you, that you receive the baptism, but it's saying yes to the Holy Spirit and letting it, and everything should change. But we often pray for people more than once for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, I received that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And they say, why should I be prayed over again? And I say, because we leak.
Yes.
We leak. I mean, the bottom line is this, is that it's a parable of sower. It's a day-to-day thing, right? Persecution comes in, temptation comes in. We could stumble and fall. Mm-hmm. We have to constantly be asking for the release of the Holy Spirit. So you went through this period. You found boys. You found, you know, the typical teenage life.
Yeah.
And then what?
Well, distracted by the boys. And I have to say that a lot of that, because a lot of people will be able to relate to this, especially young girls, that relationship for a daughter and a father is very important, as you know.
Yes.
And my father was very stern. His father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was very mean. And so this relationship with my father, just to give you an example, I would come from home from school and I would start to turn the doorknob and I would think to myself, I wonder what kind of mood Dad's going to be in today.
Yeah, sure.
So I never knew with my father. Bless his heart. He passed away 2 years ago. I love him dearly. But it was a difficult relationship. So, as the song says, I went looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
Because my dad wasn't the kind that would say, and he was from that generation, just that older generation, he didn't verbalize and say, I love you. I mean, I rarely remember.
Right.
I could count on my hand, maybe one hand, how many times he
right.
verbally told me that he loved me. He showed it in different ways, but it was a difficult relationship. So,
right.
anyway... He did his best, I know, with the way he was raised. You know, there was just baggage that have come down from generation to generation.
What generation was he?
Well, he was born in 1934. So
in
you know,
U.S. or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So
but,
anyways,
yeah.
that was the kicker. And so during high school, you know, I became very promiscuous, and my high school boyfriend, you know, right at the bat, first date, you know, we slept together. I had no idea. My parents never really sat down. They regret it now. But we were Catholics in the sense we went to Mass on Sunday.
Traditional cultural
exactly.
Catholics.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't, my mom wasn't immersed in the faith like she is now.
Right.
And started to when she got involved in SCRC, Marriage Encounter and all that. So that took me down. That opened the door, you know, sleeping with my boyfriend, you know, outside of marriage. One of the biggest regrets of my life. If I could go back and take it all back, I would have made a different decision and I would have waited because I see now everything I've learned over the past 20 years that it's so beautiful to wait, you know, and there's so much more to a relationship and marriage than just the sex. And of course, at that time, all my friends were doing it. So that's just what the culture was about. And I didn't have that teaching, you know, from my parents, and they never really sat down with me, you know, and talked to me about the birds and the bees. And I regret that they had, you know, two later in life. But that's what started my downfall.
Donna, there's so much pressure, as you know, more than ever, because it's second nature
yeah.
to fulfill, you know, your passions and sexually or whatever. Obviously, the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ is something dramatically different. What message do you have for our listening audience, teenagers, let's say, or those that are under this kind of pressure?
Wait, pray, trust, stay focused on your faith with all the sacraments, Mass, confession, everything that our church offers, staying active in youth groups and being an example to your friends. Be that example of chastity. You know, don't follow the crowd. You don't have to follow the crowd. And think about everything that God says in scripture and the reward that awaits for us when we stay true to our faith. And it's, God has such a beautiful thing for those who do wait. And marriage isn't a calling for everybody. But yeah, we just have to stay grounded in our faith in order to, and there's going to be moments we're going to fall. I mean, gosh, you know, since my conversion, I mean, I haven't been a perfect person since I decided, okay, I'm going to completely live my Catholic faith. I'm human. I'm like fall every day. I go to daily Mass and I leave the parking lot and I'm yelling at someone that cut me off.
Sure, you know? Absolutely.
I'm thinking, oh my gosh, look at me, Lord. I just received you. And, you know, but, and I'm not the only one. And that makes me feel better about that too. But then I just got to get back to confession, you know, and I try to go once a month to keep myself in check. And that took a long time to get to that point, you know, to go to confession on a monthly basis.
So many people think that they've committed the unpardonable sin or that God can never forgive them or God's mercy can never be part of their life. And those are lies of the enemy.
Yes.
Your thoughts on that?
Oh, my thoughts from a personal standpoint, when I was 22, you know, I kept on this journey. I left the Catholic Church after high school, started going to an evangelical church because the music was amazing. With some friends, I started going there. And I found myself living with my boyfriend, who is an alcoholic and a drug addict, basically. But I was blinded, you know, still by the world and everything. There was like a veil, and I just didn't think I needed God in my life. And I ended up getting pregnant. I was in a car accident, driving home one night, hit by a drunk driver, and I didn't realize that I was pregnant. And I was living with this man, and even though I wasn't going to church or anything like that, I really thought that the only way out of my situation, that I called it, was to have an abortion. I didn't want to tell my mom and dad. that I was pregnant because they were already disappointed that I was living with this man, you know, and I had stopped going to church. And I just took that wheel and made Jesus get in the back seat at this time in my life. And I said, I'm going to do things the way I'm going to do. And I was being very selfish. I was only thinking about myself. And sadly, this was back in 1986, January 13th. I'll never forget the day. I had an abortion. And I just thought, okay, I'm just going to sweep this under the rug and I'm going to go on with my life. And everything will be great. And someday me and this guy that I'm living with will get married and he'll stop drinking and everything will be better. But things did not get better.
There are so many people that have had things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Serious, certainly, abortion or divorce or whatever it might be, who say, it's too late for me. I just dropped out. I'm going to drop out of the church and God will never forgive me. And what message, again, do you have for them?
Oh, my gosh. The message of divine mercy. It is... God is always there for us. And trust me, there were many times after that. And it was a couple years after that abortion that I had my journey back to the faith. But even before that, you know, I felt there's no way that God could ever forgive me. I had done something so horrible. And it took me a long time, you know, after reading books and coming back to the faith and learning about things from scripture and seeing God's mercy hand in hand with finally going to confession. And that's, you know, later, a couple years after that, I realized that God is rich in mercy. He does love us. And when we fall, like I had mentioned earlier, we have to pick ourselves up. We can't be discouraged. You know, we have to look at the lives of the saints. I mean, oh my gosh, I think of, what is it? I can't think of her name right now.
Almost all of them.
She was always angry. She would have these angry outbursts. I can't think of her name right now. Maybe someone. But I thought to myself, yeah, I mean, the saints were not perfect either.
Look at Augustine. Look at almost all of them, right?
And yet, I mean, God loves us so much and he wants to see us get back on track. He desires that for us. And that's why the sacrament of reconciliation is so beautiful. It's there for us to begin anew. And no matter if it's abortion or whatever it is, there is no sin that
Amen.
He cannot forgive. You know, and St. Faustina said it best, you know, the greater the sinner, the greater in need of my mercy.
Yeah.
You know,
in her diary that
exactly.
Jesus said to her,
mm-hmm.
right? And the bottom line is this, God loves us so, so much that he wants us to humble ourselves, to be that little child and just open up our heart mm-hmm. to receive his mercy. And when that happens, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is about humility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced more than ever. You look at the second chapter of Philippians where it said God, Jesus, right? Albeit God humbled himself, became the form of a man, suffered and died, but every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. But it is about saying, Lord, I'm messed up, and reconciliation is a big part of that. But I trust in you. It's that Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes. And I wrote a song.
Okay.
Jesus, I trust you.
All right. Okay.
We don't have it queued up, but
okay.
You know, I
how about, how about a verse, though? You don't have to sing it, but what are some of the words?
Oh, I'd be happy, actually, to sing it.
Okay. Well, listen, with that in mind, we're going to come right back to listen in here to this incredible song about Jesus, I trust in you. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back for a great song by Donna Lee. We'll be right back. God bless.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child. And Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are with Donna Lee, the famous Donna Lee, who is near and dear to our hearts here at Spirit-Filled Hearts, and so many people, Magnificat, and many, many people all over. She is a recording, Catholic recording artist, a music minister, an evangelist. She's a songwriter and just passionate for Jesus. And we've been talking about divine mercy, the blessings of divine mercy, with the title of our show. And one of the parts of divine mercy is just opening up our heart to receive the trust of Jesus, that Jesus, I trust in you. And you wrote a song called Jesus, I Trust in You.
And I did. And it was inspired from the diary of Saint Faustina.
Awesome. May we hear some of it?
Yes. Jesus, friend of a lonely heart, you are my haven, you are my salvation. You are the bright ray that lights up the path of my life. You bring comfort and healing. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in the ocean of your mercy. From the fountain of your mercy flows all divine mercy in my soul.
Hallelujah!
Just a little bit.
Hallelujah. That is, you know, everything changes when that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes, one time I got anxious. I went to reconciliation. I did go reconciliation, but my spiritual director at St. Michael's Abbey, give a shout out to the Norbertines. He said, Steve, what I want you to do is I want you to slowly go through the beads of the rosary, and every bead just say, Jesus, I trust in you.
That's beautiful.
And to meditate on it. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I love you. What does that mean for me? You know, and just take some time, because it's transforming. The reality is we pretend like we're gods in the sense that we do not understand that, as it says in John 15, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
That Jesus is in charge.
Right.
And the more we trust in him, the more that we let him take over our life.
Right. You know, I just want to, let me tell you about my experience when I went to confession after my abortion. It was 2 years after. And this is when I started coming back to the church. And it was Mary that planted the seed, the Blessed Mother. She took me by the hand and she was slowly leading me back to the church by way of my own mother. Okay. And so the day that I decided to go to confession, and it was a surprise because I was planning on going to confession on a trip to Medjugorje. This was in 1988. And I wanted to wait till I went there because everyone said, oh, when you go to confession there, it's so beautiful. So I found myself 2 months before this trip at my church I grew up in, helping stuff bulletins. It's Saturday. It's 3:30. Confessions at 4, and I'm sharing with these women that I knew about my upcoming trip to Medjugorje, and my heart started beating super fast, and I started getting emotional, and I started tearing up, and these women had no idea, and it's 4:15, and I go, oh my gosh, no, Lord, I'm not ready. And he's saying, yes, you are. My mercy now is the time for my mercy. There is no more waiting. And I could already feel his love for me even before I made the trip to the confessional. And I go out there, there's one girl waiting, and I said, oh Lord, I don't want to cry when I go in there. I don't want to cry, and let this girl be quick because I just want to get in there and get this over with. And I went in there and the floodgates opened and I was in there for an hour because, Deacon, I hadn't been to confession in 16 years.
Wow.
And I thought God would never forgive me, right? And bless this priest. I mean, such a sweetheart. And like I said, I was in there for an hour and it was just probably a beautiful thing for him too, maybe too. I hear priests talk about this, that they love the confessions of people who've been away from the church for so many years. And so when I left and I went home, I pulled up in the driveway and my mom was coming out of the garage and she looked at me and she said, you just went to confession, didn't you?
Wow.
She could see the
Isn't
joy.
Isn't that something?
And the light. And you know what? I have a wonderful story, Mother Angelica, that I always tell this story, like when I'm talking, giving a retreat, whatever it is, a beautiful analogy of the mercy of God. Mother Angelica would share how she loved to come to Los Angeles to visit the ocean. And she'd go to the ocean and she'd stand it in and she'd call the waves to her. Come, come, come. And one time she did this and everyone in LA, they're on the beach, are looking at this nutty nun going, what is she doing? And she's yet calling these waves, and a drop of water landed on her hand. And she looked at that drop of water and she said, oh Lord, I can't have this. And so she threw it back into the ocean. And Jesus said to her, did you see that drop of water on your hand? And she said, yes, Lord. And he said, and do you see the ocean? Yes. He said, well, that drop of water on your hands is all your sins and weaknesses. And the ocean is my mercy. Do you think when you flew that drop of water out there, do you think you could even find it? And she said, it's impossible. No way. And I always like to add at that at the end. And Jesus, I don't even look for it. That drop of water dissipates. And look how big the ocean is. That's his mercy. So I always tell people, when you haven't been to confession for a long time and you're afraid, think of that drop of water, go in there, look at it. When you come out, take that drop of water, throw it into the ocean, you know, figuratively, however you want to do that. And imagine that drop of water is all your sins and weaknesses, and it dissipates and it just disappears into the ocean. And Jesus never looks for it, and we can't find it. Amen?
I feel like just standing and shouting and screaming.
That's his
Hallelujah.
Mercy.
We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
It is so amazing. And come see Donna Lee on April 13th at Santiago de Compostela, 9 a.m. to 3:30. 4:30 now. Great. Even better. 9 a.m. to 4:30. And you can register at spiritfulhearts.org and Eventbrite. And so we go to Eventbrite, and what do we put in? Divine Mercy in Lake Forest. But in any case, one way or another, come on April 13th.
Bring a friend.
Bring a friend. Fill the place. Hear Donna Lee music. Hear her sing. Hear her testimony. And we have other great, great speakers. Kathleen Beckman will be there. Father Jacob.
Annette Hills.
Annette Hills. And all kinds of people will be there. Father Ed Broom. And we are very, very excited. I'll actually be speaking too.
Yay!
But, you know, it's learning about the power of mercy, learning about the fact that we're not alone.
Nope.
And no matter what we've done, is that God is there, open arms.
Open arms.
Right?
Just waiting for us. He was waiting for me in that confession that day.
He was waiting for you.
And I thought the priest was going to slap me on the hand and say, get out of here. But that's not what Jesus does. When we are truly sorry for our sins, remorseful, and we say, we're so sorry. I mean, God can't help but love
okay.
us.
Are you ready for this? This
okay.
is, you know this,
I hope
but
so.
the radio audience, this is so important. Jesus died and rose again that we may have eternal salvation to forgive us our sins. Amen.
Amen.
And when we go to reconciliation, when we truly, when we confess our sins, does Jesus remember them after he's forgiven them?
No.
No!
Like that drop of water.
No. So remember this. Remember this, my brothers and sisters listening in. Jesus has forgotten your sins. So when you get to heaven, don't remind him.
That's right.
Don't remind him.
Especially about the abortion. And because I talk about it, you know, people, and I still sometimes will cry. I have emotions only because a mother never forgets her child.
Right.
And it's not, you know, reflecting on that abortion as the sin, you know, and I know that God understands that. And we do have to forget it. The women, we cannot dwell on that sin of that abortion, but we don't forget our child that would have been. That's the sad part, you know, but yes, you're right.
But you're going to meet your child
exactly.
in heaven. You're going to meet
gosh.
In heaven.
Deacon, I could tell you so many stories
yeah.
about my daughter. You'd just be blown away.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at Romans 8:28. For when you love Jesus, he makes all things in the good.
Amen.
All things in the good.
Yep.
And in all circumstances, give thanks, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. Divine Mercy Chaplet, tell us about your background there. When did you discover it, and what does it mean to you?
Well, I first heard about the Divine Mercy in St. Faustina. This was back in the early 1990s when there were a lot of Marian conferences, Medjugorje Peace conferences, and I was being invited to sing at a lot of them to share my songs and my story. And I was staying at a woman's house, And she played the DVD on St. Faustina and her life. And I had already gone to confession at this point, just about maybe 4 years after my start of my conversion. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this nun. I have to find out everything about her and read everything about her. And so she gave me her diary, and I learned how to pray the chaplet. And then later in my ministry, I would started going to Divine Mercy conferences. And then in San Diego, we started our Divine Mercy conference 20 years ago. And I've been singing every year at that conference. But it was such a beautiful thing to learn the chaplet, and learning about how when you pray the chaplet next to the bed of someone who's dying, that helps them on their journey, which my mom did with my grandmother. Such a beautiful thing that my mom shared with me. But that's how I learned about Divine Mercy and praying the chaplet of the dimer. And it's such a short, doesn't take as long as the rosary. So sometimes people say, I don't have time to do the rosary. Do the chaplet then.
Seven, 8 minutes, right? And you can get it online too, right?
And I recorded the chaplet. I have the rosary and the chaplet on CD.
Awesome.
My shameless plug here.
No. That's really awesome. And, you know, obviously the ideal thing is 3 o'clock.
Yes.
However, at any point.
It's always 3 o'clock somewhere.
It's always 3 o'clock somewhere. And it's just so important. I have to tell you what happened. God gives me all these dreams, okay?
Oh, wow.
And he gave me 3 dreams to go to Asia, which we did, and we got all kinds of stuff going on there, building churches and homes and different things. But then after that, he gave me 3 dreams about the importance of Divine Mercy. Mm-hmm. And he said, the most important thing that I want you to do as part of Spirit-Filled Hearts, part of this ministry, is to foster my Divine Mercy.
Amen.
And so we started with Katie Hughes. We started a Divine Mercy prayer group at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Mondays at 7 p.m., pop by in Irvine, 9 Hillgate. But we're now starting Divine Mercy conferences. We have this one on April 13th in Lake Forest. We have 2 coming up in April 27th at St. Peter and St. Paul in Rancho Cucamonga. And then we have 1 in October. That will be in Rancho Cucamonga. We're working on 1 in Santa Barbara. We're working on 1 in San Diego. You just don't know it yet.
Amen.
You're going to help us.
Okay.
And here's my pitch to our listening audience. If you like Donna Lee and appreciate her as much as we do, and hopefully I'm okay, Donna Lee and I will come to your city for a Divine Mercy conference.
Yeah.
And so for our listening audience, no matter where you are, we are passionate about Divine Mercy. I was one of the keynote speakers in the Oakland Diocese for Divine Mercy.
Amen.
We're just passionate. That word has got to get out.
Yes. And I did a Divine Mercy leaders retreat about 8 years ago with Father Seraphim and Father Michael Gately.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I'm in awe. That is amazing. Yeah.
I was very humbled. I was asked to do all the music and wrote a very special song that weekend inspired by Father Michael Gately's book, Consoling the Heart of Jesus. I have quite a few songs that were inspired by the diary of St. Faustina.
Mm.
And
awesome.
I remember when I received Jesus, I Trust in You, I was actually in Medjugorje when I wrote that song.
Mm.
And I was going to a talk.
How
and
powerful.
I had her diary in my arms, and I heard this audible voice. It wasn't a locution or anything like that, just something that said, turn to page 222, and I heard it several times.
Wow.
And I turned to page 222, and this is her paperback notebook
diary.
Yeah,
I have it. I'm going to turn
and
it when I get home.
I opened it, said, it was like the title of her next notebook, The Mercy of the Lord, I Will Sing Forever, Divine Mercy in My Soul. And I thought, oh my gosh. And that's how Jesus, I Trust in You got started. I went back to my room, opened the diary, and started reading and got more inspiration and more words for that song. And well, Divine Mercy is a beautiful thing. And I feel like sometimes, you know, Father Donald Calloway says he's the poster child for Divine Mercy. I also feel like I am too, you know, with the whole abortion, because abortion is a sin that, as we've already mentioned, many women think it's unforgivable and they can never be forgiven. And that's not true. There is no sin that God will not and cannot forgive.
Amen.
You know, unless you don't want it forgiven, you know,
Amen.
You have to want it and have to realize that what you did was wrong. But, oh my gosh, he wants to see all of us in heaven and loves us so much. And learning about Divine Mercy just saved me. You know, from that darkness of staying in that, oh, pitiful me. I'm never going to be forgiven. Even after I went to confession, I still had doubts sometimes. So when we go, we have to believe we are forgiven and he forgets that sin, like you mentioned already.
Well, amen. Hallelujah. You know, we travel all over the world and, you know, a lot in Asia, Indonesia and the Philippines and other countries or parts of the United States, no matter where we are. It's the same.
Yeah.
People are hungry for Jesus.
Yeah.
They're hungry for forgiveness.
For truth.
For mercy, for truth. Mm-hmm. They're hungry to feel accepted.
Yeah.
You know, and my brothers and sisters, it is not too late. In fact, it's the perfect time.
Yes.
The perfect time to say yes to his mercy. It's always the perfect time. Go to reconciliation. Do a one-on-one with him. Just in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. In front of a religious picture, whatever it might be. And just say, Lord, I blew it. But I trust in you. I trust in your mercy. Take over my life.
Yeah. You know, I love just talking to Jesus like
yeah.
he's just my friend. And sometimes I'll go, come on, Lord, what's going on? You know, and sometimes people think that they have to be so pious with the hands clasped like this or be in a church. But sometimes I'm in my car and I'm talking to Jesus and I'm just yelling sometimes going, come on, Lord, what's going on? And there's a beautiful thing I heard recently, a ministry where it said, Jesus, we just say, Jesus, take care of it.
Amen.
Whatever you're going through.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit with Donna Lee. We're going to be right back to talk more about the blessings of divine mercy.
Hi, this is Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar for Christ Cathedral Parish, and today we continue with holiness. St. John tells us that God is love. And so Jesus himself has revealed this love to us by his passion and death. And he commands us, love one another as I have loved you. So he gives us an image, a model for what love looks like. So to love is to sacrifice oneself for the good of the other. And so if we are to truly love like Jesus, we are to sacrifice ourselves for the glory of God and the salvation of others. And so Mother Teresa tells us we don't have to do great things, do big things, just do little things with great love. And we do it with joy. We love our neighbor because out of our love for God. And God loves a cheerful giver. So we do everything with joy for the glory of God and the salvation of others.
It's Deacon Steve Greco, and you are back on Empowered by the Spirit with Donna Lee, Catholic recording artist, music minister, and evangelist. She is someone who is on fire.
Amen.
Fuego.
So on fire.
With the Lord. And the bottom line is turning our life to Jesus just makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done that, and you're doing that, but it's a daily thing, right?
It is a daily decision.
Daily, minute by minute.
You know, when I was going to the evangelical churches when I left the Catholic Church, they had these things, as you may know, called altar calls. You know, where you raise your hand if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior.
And you come up, make a decision,
And I did that, you know.
Sure. Me too.
And then later, of course, when I came back to the Catholic Church, I learned and realized that conversion is a daily experience, and it's a choice that we make every day. You know, there are times, and I know you've heard this too, and I heard this on a retreat many years ago. Of course, I can't think of the priest's name either. My names are escaping me today. But consolation and desolation. You know, we have
it's
those
Ignatian
moments.
Ignatian spirituality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
you move it towards God or away from
God.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a great lesson for me, because even when we have our moments of darkness, like Mother Teresa, you know, we have to know just and have that faith that Jesus is still there. And then, you know, when we were talking earlier, correcting our ways and our paths, you know, when we go to confession, that's an opportunity for Jesus to get us back on the right path. And I know people, they say that every time they go to confession, it's the same sin over and over again. Who cares?
That's most people.
Just keep going. And I think it's so important to go once a month And I haven't gone once a month for all my Catholic life or since my conversion. I try. And if I, and that's my New Year's resolution for this year, is to go to confession once a month, to just keep myself in check. And what a beautiful thing. I'm so glad that I'm Catholic. Every day I say, Jesus, I am so thankful. I leave Mass and I go, Jesus, thank you that I'm Catholic. I'm so just grateful for that gift of my parents, my grandparents, how it all came down together in my lineage, in my genealogy. I think about how amazing that is when you think about it. If you trace your roots back and back, and it all ends up to where I am right now, talking with you, Deacon, on the radio, and my whole journey leading me to this point, living in the moment.
Amen.
You know, Mother Angelica.
How blessed are we, right?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so excited because I just heard yesterday Mother Angelica saying, like, live in the present. Yesterday's dead. Tomorrow's not born. Live in the present.
Amen.
So that's what I'm doing.
So come on April 13th to hear Donna Lee at Santiago de Compostela from 9 to 4:30. You can register online through Eventbrite or through our website, spiritfulhearts.org. Saints really are people who are like us, but they say yes and don't give up.
Yes.
You know, and one of the greatest attributes I think you can ever have is don't give up. In fact, often at my talks, I'll say, okay, there's three important things I want you to remember. If you remember nothing else, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. It's that perseverance, as it says, in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, we need confidence and we need perseverance to do God's will. So in that perseverance, we can look at the saints who stumbled and fall. Look at St. Peter.
Yeah.
Denied Jesus three times, right?
Yes. Yes. And St. Catherine of Siena, I believe, is a saint I'm thinking of that had the angry outbursts.
And
yeah,
she
was on fire.
You know,
I love her.
Yeah. Tell us about your favorite saints.
Well, not only her, but my all-time favorite is Saint Rita of Kasha. And Saint Rita of Kasha, the saint of the impossible. Oh my gosh.
Yes, I pray, ask her intercession every single
day.
Yes.
One of my spiritual directors, he's no longer with us, Father Jerry Bivalacqua. He was one of my spiritual directors, and he was the one that told me about Saint Rita of Kasha, because I was in an abusive marriage and I thought that there was no way out. And so the day that he told me about her, my mom happened to have her DVD at home. Mm-hmm. So I watched it. And when I finished watching it, it was May 22nd was the day I watched it. That's her feast day. I'm like, are you kidding me? The day that I choose to watch this DVD was her feast day. But that saint, she helped me so much in learning about her life and what she went through. And that's what's so beautiful about the saints. They're relatable. And there's a saint for everything. So I always encourage people, read the books, The Lives of the Saints. Learn about different saints and draw inspiration from them, because oh my gosh, everything that they went through. I mean, I hope and pray I don't have to be martyred like some of the saints, but, you know, they
are. But you're prepared to be. I mean, we are prepared when we say yes to the Lord. By the way, that one of my favorite verses I mentioned, Acts 1:8, you receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, that one, right?
Mm.
The word witness in Greek means martyr. The word witness in Greek means martyr. So the power means dynamite. Dynamite and martyr. And that's, hey, if that's what it's meant to be. You do amazing, amazing work in so many different areas. We're so thrilled at Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry to be affiliated with you in some way, shape, or form. And we've been talking about this Divine Mercy Conference that please register on April 13th. But there are other conferences. If you look at our website, you'll see that Donna Lee Music will be part of it. But we're also, as I mentioned, developing more Divine Mercy conferences. Contact us for your city. But I am very passionate about retreats, and I know you are too, because you lead a lot of them. And we're actually, Donna is taking a lead role in helping us develop a series of women retreats. Tell us about some of your retreats. Why is it so important for women to get together, let's say, and we have men's retreats too, but for women's retreats, talk to the women right now. Why is it so important to have a retreat, and what do they get out of it?
Well, it refreshes us. It rejuvenates us. It gets us on fire for our faith. We always learn something new. And, you know, the camaraderie for women, just like the Magnificat, it's easier sometimes to share with other women because we have the similar issues that we might be going through. And there's no judgment by men. And the same thing when you have a men's retreat. So that's always nice. And I've been so blessed to be a part of so many women's retreats, not just doing the music, but giving talks, giving my testimony, giving talks about, you know, how to know that you're doing God's will in your life, and just different topics, you know, finding Jesus in the storms of our lives that we go through. But I love to inspire other women to be on fire for their Catholic faith and to give them things, tools to take home with them to continue their journey.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I know that there are many people listening in, many women listening in, that are thinking to themselves, wow, how do I do this? How do I set this up? What would be your advice to them? And of course, in setting it up, you have to call us, right?
Right, exactly.
But what do they do? Go see the pastor?
That's always a good thing. Pray.
Pray. First prayer. Absolutely.
Prayer is so important.
Right. Pray.
To ask for that direction. Definitely the pastor. You have to always go directly mm-hmm. to the source. Yeah. And then get people that you know at the parish who can volunteer to help. Get a team around you.
Yeah. And it could be different groups. I mean, it could be St. Vincent de Paul, you know, Legion
yeah.
Mary.
Tap into it the resources.
It could be Divine Mercy Prayer Group.
Yeah.
It could be anything. And then how long? Tell us a little bit about the structure. If they were to set up a retreat, call us. How long is it? And what would you recommend?
Well, I do one-day retreats, so okay. they're like from 9 to 4:30.
Okay, and Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I think that's easiest to start with. I mean, you can always do a weekend retreat. Those take longer, they cost more, but I think the one-day retreat gives you enough time
yep.
to be fulfilled and learn something that includes prayer and music and talks.
So you can contact us at, again, DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Or again, your website and your email, how would they contact you directly?
Yes, my website, donnalee.ws. And from there, you can call me and you'll see my email. There's a link.
And Donna, again, has led many, many women's retreats. We have a team of women, actually, speakers, dynamic people who could come in,
yes.
help you. We can help you organize it, you know. And I'm just so passionate about transformation. You know, we talk about head the heart,
mm-hmm.
the 18-inch journey. Mm-hmm. What final message do you have to our listening audience?
Oh my gosh, there would be so many things. Just to stay focused
mm-hmm.
and continue on that journey. Keep your eyes on the cross and let Jesus lead you to becoming the best version of yourself. I love that saying that you hear from Matthew Kelly. But just becoming the person that God has created you to be and finding his will in your life.
It has been so great having you on the show, and I want you back soon.
Okay.
Thank you, Donna Lee, who is an amazing recording artist and evangelist. Jesus is calling you, my brothers and sisters, to make a difference, to say yes to him completely, not to hold back. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, worship you, and glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for choosing us to do your will. We ask blessings upon everyone listening in, their families, their loved ones, their children, their friends, to be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with a new baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the mercy and love of Jesus. We say this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be with you next week at the same time. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. God, I'm running for
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.